the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Yeah, welcome back. Here we go again. What do you say, folks? Let's get things going one more time with another edition of Bucket Strategy Investing. Professor Rick Plum, back here in studio with me. I'm Johnny Dean. We're taking care of business as much as we can. We're going to be talking money strategies with you. Money questions, concerns, it's all addressed right here on the program. We're going to start things off with a discussion on something called asset location. We've talked about this a couple of times, but it's been a while. Asset location, and specifically how it might differ from something you may have heard of, which is asset allocation. Now, you might be thinking, of course, what's the difference besides two measly letters, A-L? Well, there's a huge difference, my friends, and knowing what they are and how to strategize for both of these, that could give you a nice leg up on your retirement planning. It concerns taxes, too, which we've been talking about this week. So we'll tell you all about that coming up with Professor Plum in just a couple of moments. If you got anything on your mind, whether it has to do with where your assets should be located or whatever, lifetime income, we've talked about that before, taxes, Roths, it doesn't matter. You can call us right now at 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. We'll answer those money questions right here on the program. You can also email us, our website, that's available to you, Wealth, W-E-A-L-T-H, wealthed.com. You just find the link that says Find Your Answer there in the upper part of the page, and we will take it from there. There are more goodies, too, by the way, at wealthed.com. We'll tell you more about that coming up in just a little bit. Professor Rick Plum, back with me as usual from Lucia Capital Group. Rick is part of our nationwide team we call the Brain Trust. He's here to answer your questions. You also want to keep in mind that if you want to talk to any Bucket Strategy Advisor about your portfolio, you just give the folks at Lucia Capital Group a call at their off-air number, 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. You can take advantage of the advice, the experience of the Brain Trust, and believe me, there's a lot of that there. Your bucket strategy, it should be tailored to meet your unique goals. And once again, get in touch with the folks off the air at Lucia Capital Group at 800-644-1150. And on the air, important right now for us, 877-PLANNER. We got all the lines open right now, so if you have money questions, great time to call is right now, 877-752-6637. So while we'll be talking about this, Professor Plum, I mentioned two little letters, asset allocation and asset location. Doesn't seem like a whole lot of difference, but frankly, it is. So let's talk a little bit about what the difference is first, what we mean by asset location.
Well, let's start with asset allocation, and that's what most people know about. Asset allocation is the proper assortment of different investments. Which types of investments should I have? How much should I have in stocks and what type of stocks? How much should I have in bonds, if any, and what type of bonds? How much should I have in cash? So the allocation goes across the investments. The location, which is the second step, is which account do I buy the specific investment within? Do I buy them within my Roth IRA? Do I hold them in my personal name or my trust account? Do I own them inside of my traditional IRA? Because each different account has a different taxation. The same with each different type of investment has a different taxation potentially from a different investment. CDs, bonds, they create interest, which is taxable as ordinary income. Stocks, especially if they're held for more than a year, qualified dividends that are earned on stocks, those create a different taxable event. They also have different treatments when somebody passes away. So you have to understand how the individual investment is being taxed, and also how much it's earning, and how the individual account is going to be taxed. Because there's a lot of times where there's some redundancy, and so you can either take advantage of or protect against an adverse tax situation if you put it in the correct account. And sometimes you can lose a tax advantage by putting a certain type of asset in maybe the wrong account.
So when you talk about allocation, you're talking what? About taking some assets and, you know, doing the typical, well, you got small cap,
large cap,
value
growth, you know, international, domestic, you know, a sector fund or whatever this is. You know, right. Those are all the different types of investments.
Yes,
which are stocks, bonds, cash.
Yeah, which are designed to help you accumulate, maybe zig when the other zags, perhaps create some diversification.
Different potential. One's a growth-oriented investment that doesn't create a lot of income. The others are income-producing assets that don't create a lot of growth. How you go about setting those up, whether in a portfolio together, in separate areas. How you go about allocating and picking the appropriate risk tolerances that you may have within what you're trying to achieve. That's investment driven. If I want to achieve income, I should not buy one individual small cap stock that doesn't pay a dividend. And my hope is that it grows a lot. Well, that tells me right there that it's not going to give me much in the way of income. But on the other side, if I want something that hopefully over the next 15, 20 years grows a lot, buying a 10-year treasury isn't going to do me a lot of good. So asset allocation is picking the appropriate investments to meet your needs.
Yes.
Now it comes down to, now that I've chosen the type of investment I need, and I have maybe multiple different types of investments I need, where do I buy them? Do I buy them in my 401k, my IRA, my Roth, either 401k or regular, my personal account? Where do I get an advantage, or am I hurting myself by buying it there? Obviously, if it's an emergency fund, if I buy it inside my 401k and I'm 28 years old, it's pretty tough to get to that money without quitting. So that's not the best place to put an emergency fund.
Right.
On the other side, there's reasons to do some other things.
There are. So we'll talk more about this. We got some questions from folks on hold, so we're going to get to the calls here. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. But where you locate your taxes, there have been some, your taxes, your assets.
Yeah.
Well, it does have a lot to do with taxes, in fact. There have been some studies done on this and that have shown that the wrong location can actually hurt you by a couple of dozen percent.
And there is no
cases.
Good general rule of thumb either.
No, there is not. So we'll talk more about this. Let's get back to the phones, though. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. We still have 2-3 lines open. Let's move along to Paul in Mesa, Arizona. Paul, thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Yeah, we just recently sold our home. And after commission and all of our expenses, we're going to walk away with about $97,000. I was fun to see if I have to pay any type of taxes or capital gains or if I get to keep it all.
Was this your primary residence?
Yes, for over 10 years.
Okay, that's a good number. And what did you originally pay for the property?
About $245,000.
And what did you sell it for?
$348,000.
And you've never rented it? It's been your primary residence the whole time?
Yes, sir.
No tax. Zero, nada, zilch. Walk away, keep it. It's all yours.
Okay, well, my second part of that is, how can I take that money and make sure I'm not going to blow it and it's going to last me for as long as I need it to?
Where are you living now?
In Arizona.
But, I mean, you sold your house. Where are you going to live? I mean, are you going to buy another house or what's going on?
No, we're going to rent for a couple years, just take a step back and take a breather and just try to step up our retirement account.
Okay, so if you want to step up your retirement accounts, how old are you, Paul? You sound
44.
As I say, you don't sound all that old. So you're not, by the way. You're pretty young by my standards.
Yeah, I have a 401k at work, about $100,000. My wife has a 401k with about $15,000, and then I have a small pension with about equal to about $40,000 annuity, and then another pension I'll get when I'm 56, which would probably be about $1,000 a month.
Okay, do you and your wife have a combined income of more than $183,000 either last year or this year?
No, sir.
So, I mean, one of the things, if you said build up your retirement accounts, I would start contributing to Roth IRAs. And so you can, if you haven't done an IRA for 2015, you can still put your $5,500 each into those. There's $11,000. If you want to do it for 2016, there's another $11,000. So there's $22,000 of the $97,000 set aside for retirement, as you said. Now, how you go about investing it, since you're 44 and you're not going to retire until, you know, 59 and a half, really, to be able to get to the use of the Roth IRA, I'd go with growth assets, which mean they could go down in value, so you're not going with pure guarantees, but you got 15 years, and so I'm not too worried about that particular issue. And I want you to keep funding it every year. So now you've got another $70,000, $75,000 or so to do something else with. Do you have any credit card debt or anything else of that nature, any debt?
No, sir.
You're doing
great. I do have $14,000 in parent loans for my daughter, so I'd like to perhaps get those paid off. They're 6.5%, they're federal loans.
Yeah, 6.5%, and is your income in the $100,000 range or higher?
No, sir.
Okay. You could potentially deduct the interest, but it's still 6%. On a deduction, it's, you know, it's still going to be 4.5%, 5%. If you're a more conservative investor, I would pay those off. If you're a more aggressive investor and you're not having trouble making the payments on that loan, I would probably invest it for more growth, but you have to be a more aggressive investor to do that.
I'll be honest with you, she's actually a full-time student, so I actually have all the loans deferred right now, so I'm just making interest payments.
Yeah, but you're still paying interest. I mean, so what you could do by paying them off is take that money you were paying in interest and pay it to yourself into investments. And so it's, you know, kind of six of one, half of the other. Your bogey is 6%. You got to earn better than 6% or so to beat paying off those loans. I kind of lean towards paying them off unless you think you're going to need the capital soon.
Yeah, because 6% is fairly high given today's
interest. I mean, it is deductible, but so is the earnings. Not deductible, taxable.
Yeah, Paul, hang on if you have some more questions. I just got to take a break here. We'll be happy to help you out again on the other side. So stick around if you have more. We have a couple of lines open, 877-PLANNER. Taking your calls when we come back. Bucket Strategy Investing. Day of Blues, man. I tell you what, tune in the entire program. You'll be getting some great music. I can virtually guarantee that. 877-PLANNER, our number. PLANNER. You should also call because we got a lot of great information still to come. And speaking of great information, there's more still to come at one of the 2016 Retirement Income Strategies workshops put on by Lucia Capital Group, which gives you a chance to meet Professor Rick Plum, Terry Keyes, who also travels with Professor Plum, and all the local advisors. Your questions will be answered in person at any one of the strategies workshops. We still have some locations left, and you'll want to check it out at wealthed.com. The entire itinerary is there at wealthed.com at the live events tab. Click on that. We should have one coming up in the next week or two where you are listening or watching. And if we're not there, well, just send us an email. We're getting some emails already saying, come on out to this place or that place, and we'll see if we can put it on the list for you in the next series, which comes up in a few months. This series happens to be set for now. I would suggest, again, Professor Plum, if you're in a place like Minneapolis or maybe in, you know, Maine or someplace where it gets cold, or if you're in some place hot, very hot, that we're not going to necessarily be there around the winter or summer solstice.
At that particular time
of
the
year. No, not that time. Now, give us a good time of year to come. Here's what you got to do. Say, we're here in this particular city. Here's a great time of year to visit. And by the way, here's a great restaurant you might want to consider while you're there. And if it all checks out, I think you probably got yourself a deal. Anyway, wealthed.com is where you go, wealthed.com. Our phone lines are open, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. We're going to get back to your calls in just a couple of moments here. But I do want to go back to this for just a little bit again, Professor Plum, on the asset location. We talked about how assets are allocated. You could say small cap, mid cap, large, international, growth, domestic, this, that, and so once you've decided where your allocation should lie, what's the next step? Because a lot of people just completely leave this out.
Well, you have to figure out where you're going to buy it. Now, for somebody who has 100% of their money in their 401k, well, there's not much decision there, is there? It's going to be purchased in the 401k. But if you have the, I'll say luxury, of having the different types of accounts, personal money, Roth money, IRA tax-deferred type money, where do you buy the accounts? Well, it depends on whether you're accumulating assets or you're distributing assets. It also attends, you have to look at the time horizon. I mentioned earlier, if you're too young to be able to access the money in the tax-deferred accounts, having money I need for my kids' education may not be a good place by putting. If I were putting it in an IRA and I can't use it on time, that doesn't do me a whole lot of good. So you have to understand first how the taxes are going to work on the specific investment, but you also have to look at the time horizon. Now, it used to be that we did our growth investing, if possible, in our personal accounts, and we did our income-producing assets, high income-producing assets, bonds and things like that, in our IRAs, because the money in the IRA is going to be taxed as ordinary income. The money in an income-bearing account is going to be taxed as ordinary income. I don't lose anything by putting it there. However, that was when we could actually earn something on interest-bearing accounts.
Not anymore.
And so the money that, you know, so in many respects, having that money in our personal account right now while we're accumulating assets, if our allocation calls for it, got to go back to the allocation for that, and putting our growth assets in our IRAs is not the worst thing in the world, because the taxes on the growth, what we're foregoing by having it in there, is actually a higher dollar amount, because hopefully the growth is a lot more. Even though it's taxed at a lower percentage, there's a lot more potential for growth there. So there's, even at the lower percentage, it's a more tax than the tax I'm paying on a 1% or 2%, you know, bank account, or 2% bank account? I didn't say that.
A 0.5 or
interest-bearing account of some form.
There you go. 1% or 1.2%.
So we have to look at what we're trying to accomplish. But that changes once we get into retirement.
Well, it sure does. And so once again, this points out the difference between the accumulation and the distribution phase, or decumulation, if you prefer, phases of your life. Okay, more coming up. We're getting back to your phone calls. 877-PLANNER. Just two lines open, 877-752-6637. Let's move along next to Sam in Hayward, California. Hi, Sam. How are you doing today?
Oh, fine. Thank you, folks. Great show.
Thank you. So what's up?
I filed and suspended for Social Security, but I never got anything from them telling that it was, you know, whether, you know, it has been noted or not. How do I find out for sure whether the file and suspend has worked?
Well, what was your purpose for doing the file and suspend?
One thing is so that it'll increase, you know, 8% every year.
Okay, but you don't need to suspend your benefit to have it increase until age 70. Were you looking to have your spouse take a benefit from your work record?
Not at this time, no. No, I don't think so.
Okay, how old is your spouse?
Our spouse is 57, and she's not well.
Okay, and then you're 66 or older, so you, right? You are 66 or older, correct?
I'm 67, yeah.
Yeah. So the only reason you did it was so that you could potentially change your mind between now and age 70 and undo it and ask for a refund of all the suspended benefits. That's why you did it, correct?
Yeah. And also, I guess, like you said, you know, I do not know whether you have to do a file and suspend to increase the, you know, get the 8% till 70, you know?
You don't have to do it. If all you're doing is waiting until 70, then you didn't have to file and suspend. You could have just waited until you got to 70. But what if you do file and suspend, then you have, and you can, you are the right age, you still have this option. You can, at some point before you get to 70, undo the suspension. And let's say you undo it just before you hit age 70, you can say, undo my suspension, go back to the day I filed, start sending me my benefit without any increases, and give me a check for all the months I missed. That's what you're trying to preserve by doing a file and suspend. Now, how can you tell? When you say you filed for your benefit, what did you actually do? Did you do it online, or did you go down and do it?
I did it over the phone.
You filed over the phone, or you suspended over the phone? Most of the time,
I told them I wanted to file and suspend over the phone, because they set up an appointment, you know, like, 4 or 5 days or 1 month later or whatever, when I called them. Then somebody called me at that time, and I told them what my plan was, and they said, okay. You know, we went through, I guess, the paperwork.
Did you go through the paperwork and file anything with them?
Nothing manually, no, nothing. You know, just like I said, only over the telephone.
Yeah, I don't think you can actually file over the telephone. You can file online, and you can file in person.
Don't you have to sign or
and
sign
I, but I don't think you can file over the telephone. You can suspend the benefit over the telephone, but I'm not sure you can file through the telephone. So I would actually call them again, or go down there and have an appointment with them and see what's going on, if you really want to do the file and suspend. It's not a huge benefit.
So it is still a file and suspend then, right? If that's the right term.
You do have that option. You are full retirement age or older. You do need to do this before April 29th, so don't wait. Go down and do it now.
Got it. No problem.
Does that help? That help you out?
Definitely, definitely. I'll go down to the Social Security office and, you know, stand in line.
Yeah, or try to get an appointment in time, but I'm sure that they're going to get slammed here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, they may be. They may. Whatever you find out, Sam, will you let us know how it comes out? Okay.
Definitely, no problem, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
You can file online. and then call and suspend it on the phone.
Okay, but what we don't know is whether or not you can actually call them up and say, I'd like to file, and then...
Yeah, I'm not going for that one yet.
Okay,
I'll try to find it.
We'll see if we can look that up. Again, not having filed, because neither one of us is of age, we couldn't tell you whether that's whether you're able to do that or not. But we want to make sure that he has at least done the filing part, because that's part of file and suspend. 877-PLANNER, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. We're coming right back with more of your money questions. Told you, it's a jazzy day here in the studio. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, taking your calls. 877-752-6637. Jazz blues, really. This is really more blues. But anyway, enjoy the music, which, of course, I'm talking over, so you can't. But anyway, welcome back to the program. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Now, I'll tell you something about Social Security, but first, Professor Plum.
Well, we were talking with Sam, and he was wondering if he actually had filed and suspended his benefit. He did it all over the phone, and I hadn't heard of applying over the phone. I knew you could suspend your benefit over the phone, but I was just looking it up, and it said, if you cannot apply, this is on the Social Security website, so I hope
it's
true.
Which is 100% correct all the time.
I hope so. Yeah. If you cannot apply online, or you decide not to finish applying online for whatever reason, you can apply by phone or in person. So you can actually apply for your benefit. So Sam may have been able to apply for his benefit online and then suspend it all in one long phone call. And so now the only reason for him to call them is just to make sure that he is in that situation where he did apply and suspend so that he has the option of changing his mind if he chooses
that. You'd think they'd send you something in the mail after you'd done that and said, you know, here's a summary of what you're doing. But then again,
I
don't know. Okay. All right. Well, speaking of Social Security, as we were with Sam just a few moments ago, you know, there have been a lot of changes to Social Security over the last couple of months, and in the coming weeks, this could affect your benefit. In fact, for the next couple of years, it could, depending on how old you are and what your situation is, your circumstances. Professor Plum has put together a free guide on, guess what, the big changes coming to Social Security and some of the changes that are already here. You can download yours. You just go over to our Facebook page. And the best way to do that, if you're on Facebook, just search Wealth Ed. Or if you're at wealthed.com, our website, up in the far upper right-hand corner, there is an icon, a Facebook icon. You click on that, and that'll take you right to our Facebook page. In fact, as I understand it, you don't even have to be logged in or a member, I don't think. But try it. Click on the Facebook icon, and you'll see it. It's probably the top post or one of the top posts there at Wealth Ed Facebook page. Download it from the link. Read it. I had said yesterday, I think you can read it in like 12, 13 minutes. I think it's more like 5-6 minutes, but it will teach you a lot of information in there and an easy read. So once again, the Social Security Guide to the Coming Changes right there at our Facebook page or at wealthed.com. Okay, phone lines are open, 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Any money issue that you have, you give us a call right now, and we will talk to you about that. 877-752-6637 spells out PLANNER. We'll also get to some emails in just a couple of seconds here. Now, when we talk about asset location, Professor Plum, I guess you have different types of assets. You have personal accounts. You've got assets in a Roth. You've got assets in traditional IRAs. Sometimes you have stocks. You've got real estate. You've got bonds, you've got alternative investments. How is anybody supposed to know where these things go? Like stocks, for example. You've got some with qualified dividends, non-qualified dividends, kind of thing.
You mentioned in yesterday's show when you were talking about today's topic, and you mentioned earlier in this show, it's a very important issue, how you go about locating your assets, but why don't more people do it? And the answer is, it's not easy. It's complicated. It first off requires that you actually understand taxation, where the brackets are, how it affects everything, what's going on in your tax world. And then the next reason why people, so maybe you as the individual don't know that much about your taxes, but hopefully your advisor does. I'm going to say that many don't, but many still do know about taxes. But why do advisors still not do a lot of tax location? Because they lose you. In trying to describe how it works and what's going on, they basically drive you away because you're so overwhelmed by it. You say, well, forget it. I'm just going to stay where I am. And so instead of losing you as a potential client, they'll make it more understandable. They won't try to rock the boat, and they'll just do what everybody else does so that they keep you as a client. Because unfortunately, it is difficult to understand. And it does start with taxation. I mean, how many people can say they understand taxation? I mean, let's take it outside of the tax preparer environment. How many people truly understand how taxes are prepared and gone through and calculated? And I would say that's the minority of people that would actually would do it. And then to take that and then apply it, apply the idea that, well, these assets do this and these assets do that, they're taxed differently. Well, if you didn't know anything about tax to begin with, your eyes glossed over about 2 seconds after we started talking about it, and you don't use that advisor. So advisors are more willing to do what you want them to do than to rock the boat and do what they should be doing, in my opinion, which is the best thing for you, because it does have a big impact. You know, it's not a matter of losing money, whatever the case. It's that it creates more expense. One of the biggest problems in retirement is that, not that we don't necessarily have enough income. I mean, there's two sides to the equation. There's income and there's expenses. Well, income is going to be a fairly set number. You can only have so much income based on what you've got going on in your life that need to cover your expenses. The problem is we don't want to reduce our expenses, except for this one. Taxes are an expense. Managing your taxes in retirement can help you create a portfolio that gives you better longevity of your assets, because that's one expense that we all like to manage. Now, managing it doesn't necessarily mean making it zero or as low as possible today. And in fact, managing it may mean increasing it today for a fairly new retiree, maybe before they take their Social Security and other things, and doing Roth conversions. If it was minimization, if tax minimization was the only thing that mattered today, then nobody would ever do a Roth IRA, really.
No, of course not. And as you said, Professor Plum, understanding how this all fits together can be very complicated, which is why you need some kind of an advisor that A, understands that, and B, should explain it to you.
But it's tough to explain sometimes.
Well, it can be, but I know you've done it. You got things like stocks and real estate. We'll talk in a little while about where those things perhaps should belong, and the difference between capital assets and ordinary income assets, because that really is the heart of a lot of this. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Up next, we lost a couple calls, so we have three lines open now. Vern, we'll put you next in Las Vegas. Hi, how can we help you today?
Good morning. Yes, I have a friend of mine who is 78, I believe. His wife was 68. She passed away. I'm trying to find out for him if there's any way that he can get part of her benefits. I know he's making $1,400, $1,500 on Social, and she was in the $800-something range.
No. Unfortunately, no. He will only be able to continue with the higher of the two benefits. His is the higher of the two benefits. He will continue to get his $1,400-$1,500 a month. Her $800 a month is gone.
Okay.
Now, if it had been the other way around.
If it had been the other way around, and unfortunately he passed away and his wife was the surviving spouse, she would have stepped up to his $1,500.
So her,
she would have dropped her $800 off.
Her $800 would have gone away, and she would have taken the higher benefit. But
you get to continue the higher, assuming they were both full retirement age or older when the person passed away, the higher of the two benefits continues, but not both of them. They don't stack on top of each other. Only the higher benefit continues.
Yeah. What you have is two people, when they're both alive, you have two people receiving a benefit. Each gets a check. When one of them is gone, Social Security says, well, we're gonna give whoever's left the higher benefit. And in his in your case, Vern,
he was already receiving it.
Yeah, the person that you're referring to was the one receiving it. So he's just going to keep receiving his benefit.
Okay, dokie.
Sorry, Vern.
Now I know.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, Vern. Thanks for the call. Yeah, that's, again, a confusing aspect of it, because we talk about spousal benefits. We talk about, you know, if it had been the reverse, we've seen where the wife now all of a sudden, in this case, let's say, she's getting 800. Let's say the husband had passed away, she survived. She would now get a survivor benefit, which is her benefit, the 800 plus
another whatever, bringing her up to the higher of the two.
Right. And the only reason she gets a survivor benefit is because
the deceased's benefit was higher than hers.
Exactly. But if the deceased's benefit is lower, there is no benefit.
Right. You do not stack both of them, the full benefits, on top of each other. You only get, in essence, you only get the higher of the two. If they're going to give you two benefits while two of you are alive, they're only going to give you one when one of you is alive. And so you can't stack them on top of each other.
No. I've heard people say, well, gee, that's not fair. I've been getting two checks for the last, you know, number of years.
No,
and
getting one check. Your spouse has been getting one check.
Well, okay, but the way I'm explaining it is, yes, we've been getting two checks.
We?
Yes. Why should I not? I've also heard it said, my wife's been paying in all these years. She only collected for a year, and all of a sudden it's gone.
Are you going to drop the fair word on me? It's not fair?
Well, I think where the confusion is that they look at this almost like a pension, which when the owner dies, oftentimes that pension will continue paying.
But only if the owner elected to take a less of a pension.
Right,
we didn't take it. We took life only in those options. Now, we get the higher of the two. There are no options in this.
Exactly. There are no options with Social Security. The survivor benefit is the higher of the two. And if you're already receiving the higher of the two,
that's what you get.
Then that's what you get. That is the benefit. So, okay. Hope we cleared some of that up. If not, give us a call. We got open lines, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum coming back on Bucket Strategy Investing. Hey, don't forget, by the way, a lot of things I got to remind you of, but there are more workshops coming up with the Brain Trust in the city that you happen to be in. And if it's not in one of your cities, they're called the 2016 Retirement Income Strategies Workshops presented by Lucia Capital Group. If they're not in one of your cities, let us know you'd like us to come there. You can go to wealthed.com. You can send us an email there at wealthed.com and say, hey, here I am. Come see me. Bring the Brain Trust. And I think, as I said before, just tell us when the good weather is, if you happen to have large variations, because this group, you know, they're used to temperate zones. Tell us when the good weather is, and tell us where the good restaurants are.
I think you're saying I'm a weather wimp.
Well, you kind of are in many ways. I'm not saying completely, but you are. I'll leave it at that.
Born and raised in the miserable San Diego weather, and I'm a weather whip.
That's been your problem. You never actually had to go through
shovel snow
and do all drive in the ice and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, yes, I don't even think, do you own a coat?
Not a heavy one.
I don't either. It's my problem too. Anyway, just let us know. We'll be at several different locations throughout the next month or so. So once again, check wealthed.com at the live events tab. And sign up. Of course, it's all free. We make it all free. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. So let's just cut to the point here on asset location. Let's say I've got stocks. I'm going to come to you and I'm going to say, well, I don't know where to own them. I've got stocks. Do I put them in my Roth account? Do I put them in my 401k? Let's say I'm a young guy. I'm only 30 years old.
Okay, well, there's a couple things going on. You're going to be dollar cost averaging into your 401k. So there's going to be some stocks in your 401k or some volatile assets in your 401k, because that's where the dollar cost averaging gives you an advantage. So by its very nature, the investment nature, you're going to have some stocks in your 401k. On the other side, if you have personal money and tax deferred money, should you have bonds in your personal account? Well, first off, at a 30-year-old, you're not going to have any bonds. You're not going to have anything that has high income production in it really anyway, except for maybe an emergency fund. And by definition, emergency fund I need access to, that's not the 401k. So you're going to have that personally. But as we get older and we get closer to that retirement age, where we've got a portfolio that we want to have a larger diversification across different asset classes, where some of those asset classes do create ordinary income, do we have those in our IRAs, 401ks, or do we have those in our personal accounts? Well, depending upon how far out from retirement we are, we may actually have those in our personal accounts in today's economic environment, because in those accounts, you're earning, what, 2, 3% or so? And a fixed income oriented investment. And so how much of my investment am I basically going to lose each year to taxation? Even if I'm in a 25% tax bracket, I've lost maybe a half of a percent, you know, compared to the original principal, to 0.75% to the taxes if I earn between 2 and 3% all taxable in 1 year. So it's a reduction of my account by less than 1%. On the other side, I'm hoping that my growth accounts earn 8 or 9% and maybe 10%. And this is ignoring state income taxes as well. But if my, even though it may be taxed at a lower percentage, 15% for a lot of people, that 15% of 10% growth, I'm still losing 1.5% overall of the original balance. So I've got a better tax deferred issue by using my growth stocks in my deferred accounts while I've got a long time to defer than my income
assets.
So in
other words, putting your growth stocks inside your 401k or your traditional IRAs.
While you're accumulating can actually make sense when interest rates are just so dismal. Now, back in the day when I could get 5 or 6% on a bond portfolio or something, which doesn't happen now, now I'm losing more to the taxes on that 5 or 6 than I would on the 9 or 10 with the stocks.
So it was a different story.
So we flipped it around.
Yeah.
Now, but once we get to retirement, now it's a different game. Again, assuming we have personal money and IRA money, which and we do want to have income investments and growth investments, where do we put the different investments? Well, I'm going to default the other way around. The income investments. If I want one of these two accounts to grow, well, I know the other one's going to stay fairly stagnant because I'm going to be pulling the income from it every year. Which one do I want to grow, my IRA or my personal account? Well, I want my personal account to grow for several reasons. First off, I need the income. I'm going to be paying taxes on it, and I'm also going to be hitting required minimum distributions that I'm going to have to be taking money out of my IRAs anyway. So I might as well use the income being generated by the asset to satisfy the required minimum distribution. And these assets over here, I'm hoping that I don't touch them, and maybe, you know, if I treat them well, I've got long-term capital gains. Yes, it is a drag on the portfolio, but managing it right, you get a little bit less of taxation. But also, when I die and I leave these assets to my wife as a survivor, our tax brackets change dramatically. And at that point, I'd much rather her inherit a large personal account with a step-up in basis rather than my IRA.
A lot of keys to this, a lot of different ways to go. 877-PLANNER, well, if you have questions on this, give us a call or on anything else. I want to get one more call in before the top of the hour. We just lost a couple calls, so hang on. But we'll get next to Daryl in Henderson, Nevada. Hello, Daryl. How can we help you today?
Hey, guys. Good show. Quick question. I worked for a number of years accumulating Social Security and then got a job, a government job.
Yeah.
So I realized I'm going to take a penalty because the government job that I have is not, the pension is separate from Social Security, so I get penalized from Social Security.
Right.
Okay. My wife worked throughout her working career accumulating Social Security. If I survive her, do they take into account that I'm receiving this pension from the government, and therefore, because my Social Security that I'll receive is less than hers, even though if you looked at it, took my government job out, I actually should be accumulating more in Social Security than her.
Tell me a little bit more. Now, what is your pension from the government job going to total on a monthly basis?
Probably, I'm just getting ready to retire, so it's probably going to be about $7,000 a month.
You will not see dime one ever
based on the $7,000
from a widower's benefit. What they're going to do, there's two different games afoot here. One is the one that's screwing up your Social Security, and it's being reduced by 55% up to about $400 some bucks. But that's the windfall elimination provision. The windfall elimination provision, because you have the pension, it affects yours. The government pension offset is what's affecting hers. And they're going to reduce any benefit that you get from her work record by an amount equal to 2/3 of your pension. And 2/3 of your pension is a lot larger than any Social Security benefit on earth right now.
It's over $4,000, and the largest Social Security benefit is
35, maybe?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Okay. One last question, though. Now, we're married, obviously. Uh-huh. When we both retire, her Social Security, up until the time she passes away, that won't be reduced because of my pension.
Correct? Nope, not at all.
No, I tell you what, hey, Daryl, if you can hang on less than a minute, we can talk to you more during the top of the hour news here. So hold on if you wanted some clarification or have some more questions. We've got another hour coming up. 877-PLANNER. If you need the brain trust off the air, talk to Professor Plummer, any of the Lucia Capital Group advisors off the air, 800-644-1150. Another hour just ahead. Stick around. You got more Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.